Today's reading is in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 30. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was to be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to him, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck, and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better if you enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." It seems like here Jesus is taking some, not one-on-one time, because it's not one-on-one, but with his disciples, some personal time with his disciples. And he's taking the time to do some teaching that they were going to need for later on. Whether they understood it all now or not, they were going to need it for later when he calls everything into remembrance for them when they become inspired. They would remember all the things that were told to them while they spent their time with him. So he tells them the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and then he will arise 3 days later. Now, when this does happen, they don't seem to be thinking about this teaching. But of course, this is for the benefit after Jesus rises and makes himself known to them and he opens up their understanding. But it says they didn't understand it and they were afraid to ask him. They were afraid to ask him, "What does all this mean?" Maybe the reason they don't understand it is because they had views that were very similar to the views of the day, which was that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, but he was going to be the Messiah that brings about a restoration of the physical kingdom of Israel rather than a spiritual kingdom. So perhaps that's where the misunderstanding comes from. But as they came to Capernaum, he asked them what they were discussing, and they kept silent because they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. That's that physical kingdom mindset that I'm talking about. And he explains to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Spiritual thinking is often very different from physical thinking. And that's true here as well. In the physical kingdom, they're thinking about, okay, you know, who's going to be first? Who's going to be at the right hand of Jesus or right hand of the king? And here he's saying, no, the spiritual kingdom is completely different. If you want to be first, you got to be last. In other words, you have to dedicate yourself to serving others. And he takes a child and tells them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is another section that Mark abbreviates, and we tend to go to other accounts to read this when we're studying it. In Matthew chapter 18, this account has a little bit more information to it. And he calls the child, puts him in the midst of them. Verse 3 of 18, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So he's teaching them about how they must be in order to be in heaven. And whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, answering that question of who is to be the greatest. Verse 5, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So when he makes this statement in the book of Mark, and just says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me but him who sends me. It, of course, he's talking about him and the Father. But combining this with Matthew's account in describing becoming like children and their position, he's talking about protecting those that are innocent. Protecting those that, you know, have that childlike faith. And that's what he's talking about in verse 42 when he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. There is an accountability there for harming one of those little ones, as he states. But of course, we're talking about in the kingdom, and we're talking about harming those in the faith. And then he takes kind of a turn that's, well, kind of gruesome. He goes on in verse 43, and so he's saying, not only that, but if you realize that some part of you is going to cause you to sin, so if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. And the point in all three, it's better for you to enter life lame than to be thrown into hell whole. We may have to make great sacrifices for our faith, for our spiritual well-being. He says you need to be willing to make those sacrifices. Because going to hell and keeping everything intact, that's no good. That's a loss. That's a complete loss. And then if it's not vivid enough for everybody to understand what he's describing, he tells us that in hell, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's eternal punishment. It doesn't stop. Whenever I think about hell being a description of burning and fire, I realize that one of the biggest fears people have is to burn to death, to burn alive. And Jesus is saying that would be your eternal punishment. It'd be like burning alive all the time. It doesn't end. You end up in a fire today, and after a short while, you die. Your body stops. It's not going to happen that way. Hell doesn't end because you die. He says the worm does not die. It does not stop. So whether we're talking about this grisly scene of being thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck, or we're talking about cutting off parts of our body in order to avoid sin, Jesus is driving that point home, how important it is to live by faith and to live pure, and to not harm those who are pure, those who are living by faith. Whether we're talking about weak disciples or children, either one, he says you don't want to be the one that harms them, because that's going to be a great judgment upon you. In both of those, he's saying that the circumstance of drowning to death or the circumstance of being lame is better than the alternative. It's better than going to hell and because of what you did, whether it is harming one of those or just sin in general. I think most of us understand that Jesus is not talking about self-mutilation. He's not talking about literally cutting parts of our body off. But he is saying that you have to be willing to pay the price that is demanded in order to live a life of faith. And that might mean, you know, cutting yourself off from certain relationships, certain situations, certain things that you enjoy. You know, there's lots of things that could be temptations to sin. And he says you have to be willing to sacrifice those things in order to not go into judgment, not go into condemnation. You might have people around you that are a bad influence. They convince you to place a priority on the things of this world versus the things of God. Maybe they entice you into certain particular sins. Maybe you struggle with something that is very common today for men and women, which is pornography. And maybe because of that, you go without internet access. You go without a computer, a tablet, or a phone. You know, you sacrifice those things in order to keep your life pure. Maybe it's a hobby you have to give up. Because along with that hobby might come other temptations, or even the temptation to put it above your allegiance to God. Causing ourselves to sin is a big deal. That's what Jesus is communicating. It's a really big deal. And so he's using these very vivid images and very vivid descriptions in order to convince us or get through to us how big a deal sin really is. And we need to think about these situations we find ourselves in, both our influence on others and the things that influence us. We need to pray to have the kind of courage that we need in order to pay the price to be able to live faithfully to Him. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.